Land reform has been touted as a way to reduce rural poverty rates and raise overall economic growth. Giving farmers legal title to their land gives them security, as well as the collateral to be able to take out loans and invest in their farms, whether it be by buying new capital to work the land, buying more fertilizer, or new improved seeds. And in some cases, this might mean that farmers are able to leave rural areas for higher wages in the cities. Having legal title to their farmland allows peasants to be able to sell it and use the money for other ventures. While land reform has the potential to increase growth and reduce poverty, reform in Mexico didn't seem to do either. Government created, quote, inefficient communal property rights subject to a wide range of restrictions, thus failing to create private property rights or land titles that could be used as collateral. So what explains this? Why did reform trap peasants onto the land and make them dependent on the state? Interesting new research is asking how we can explain the peculiarities of Mexican land reform. Why did it take such an unusual form, and why did these inefficiencies last for 75 years? Land redistribution started at the end of the Mexican Revolution and continued until the early 1990s. Serious redistribution started under the presidency of Lázaro Cárdenas in the 1930s. In a 1938 article, Time magazine had a great description of Cárdenas personally interrogating large landholders and scolding them for keeping the peasants poor. The article notes that, quote, in Mexico City, politicians were as amazed as their prototypes in Washington when they first realized that Lázaro Cárdenas, like Franklin Roosevelt, meant to fulfill his radical campaign pledges. The hitherto haphazard land division system passed into the hands of a nationwide agrarian administration whose officers, all pistol-toters, organized the peons into ejidos, or collective farms, financed by the state's specially created National Bank for Ejido Credit. The early land reform process focused on taking land from large haciendas and giving it to the peasants who worked on the farms. In fact, Cárdenas redistributed almost 10% of the total land in the country. The information in this video comes from an excellent 2012 paper called Authoritarian Survival and Poverty Traps, Land Reform in Mexico. And this figure from the paper provides a great overview of land reform. As is clear from the graph, most of the redistribution took place in the 30s, right around here, in the early 40s, and again in the late 60s, early 70s. In that latter period, reform mostly involved turning medium-sized farms into communal ejidos. Almost 13% of the total land was distributed in the Díaz-Ordaz presidency from 1964 to 1970, and another 5.5% was redistributed in the subsequent regime. By 1990, more than half of the country's land had been redistributed. Part of the answer to the question about why Mexican land reform was so peculiar is a recognition that authoritarian governments may have other goals besides spurring economic growth. A great example of this is the quote here by Plutarco Elias Calles, the founder of the PRI. He stated that the ejido is the best means of controlling these people by simply telling them, if you want land, you must be with the government. Those who aren't with the government won't get the land. Land reform was a genius method of keeping peasants wedded to the land and dependent on the government. While reform might have spurred short-term growth, the PRI wasn't interested in long-term growth in rural areas because richer farmers would have also been more politically independent farmers. So let's take a look at some of the features of Mexican land reform that are consistent with the argument that the PRI wanted peasants reliant on the government. In the author's words, peasants lacked full property rights over their land. They were not permitted to leave their plots idle for more than 2 consecutive years and were not allowed to rent individualized plots. These restrictions made peasants hesitant to risk migration to urban areas in the fear that they may lose their land. Until 1992, property was also not being transferred to its highest valued use because neither peasants nor villages were allowed to sell their agricultural land or use it as collateral to secure loans. The authors go on to note that peasants consequently depended upon the state's credits for their livelihood. The agrarian federal bureaucracies, controlled by the PRI, could threaten the denial of credits if peasants failed to support the party. Farmers could only invest in the collectively owned land, the ejidos, after petitioning the government, and doing so was, quote, not a trivial enterprise. It usually involved hiring a lawyer who would keep track of the long and complex process, send commissions to Mexico City to talk with the federal bureaucracies involved in the land-granting process, and create an appropriate organizational form to manage the common pool resources obtained through the ejido. A paper by Cepeda in 2000 found that resolving cases of land ownership took an average of 99 legal steps and involved many different bureaucracies. A 2001 paper by Vanderhaar found that land petitions typically took over 12 years to go through the system, although sometimes it took 20 years just to get a provisional land grant. The authors of the 2012 paper that I noted find evidence that richer voters were less likely to vote for the PRI, but that economic growth brought short-term support for the party. More specifically, a 50% increase in per capita income is associated with an almost 10% drop in voting for the PRI. Likewise, land distribution spurred short-term growth, but left rural areas impoverished in the long run. Redistributing 10% of a state's land increased the number of PRI votes by 13.3 percentage points. So while both economic growth and land redistribution both increased PRI support, the researchers make the excellent point that the latter was much more easily manipulated by the PRI. They could definitely control land reform, but creating economic growth was another matter. In sum, the authors find that land redistribution seriously hampered development in the country. In an interesting counterfactual, they calculate that 30% less land redistribution would have resulted in a GDP more than four times as high. The 2012 paper that I mentioned is currently a working paper. It's by Michael Albertus, Alberto Diaz-Calleros, Beatriz Magaloni, and Barry Weingast. Again, it's called Authoritarian Survival and Poverty Traps, Land Reform in Mexico. And it is also the source of the cite by Zepeda from 2000 and Vandahar in 2001.